I'd like to acknowledge the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Ngarrindjang people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. Here we go. There are no apologies. Confirmation minutes of the previous meeting. Councillor Dagg, second Fitzgibbon. Is there any debate? No debate. I'll put the motion. All in favour? It's unanimous. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Saval.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Two disclosures of interest, MM3-2020 and CO4-2020, both regarding Cessnock Correctional Centre access, a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict for the reason that my sister is an employee of Justice Health of the Cessnock Correctional Centre. I'll choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting as the conflict does not influence me in carrying out my public duty because it has no impact on her employment.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to declare a pecuniary interest in WI 29-2020, establishing a rural fire service brigade in the community of Weston. As I own property in the vicinity of the fire station, may have a real or perceived significant pecuniary interest in the outcome of the vote. I won't participate and I'll leave the chamber.
So there's no others? There are no petitions. There is no public address. Consideration adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exception. Councillor Saval.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Having read and considered the reports in the agenda related to the following items, I move that these items be considered Englobo, NI3-2020, PE12-2020, PE13-2020, CC33-2020, CC34-2020, CC36-2020, CC37-2020, WI-28-2020, WI-31-2020, WI-33-2020, and WI-34-2020. I move that Council adopt the recommendations.
We have a seconder there. Councillor Gray. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? Councillor Doherty, you're voting against? Councillor Doherty, are you voting against?
Councillor Doherty's muted.
Councillor Doherty, are you voting for the Englobo?
I'm voting for it.
Okay, fine. That's unanimous. Thank you. Yeah. We have Councillor Saval.
Yes. Can I...
Yes.
Are we on to the next thing? Can I move a procedural motion, Mayor Pinson?
Yes.
I'll move a procedural motion to reorder the business to move forward CO4 2020 to now.
Okay, we get a seconder. Councillor Burke. No debate. Put the deferral. Put that. All those in favour. So it's Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Burke, Sander, Lyons, Dagg and Pinsent. Those against. Councillor Olsen. We've moved that way. Councillor Saville, you're speaking to the correspondents.
Yes, can I move an alternate recommendation to the correspondents?
Yes.
That one, that Council acknowledges the letter from Minister for Corrections, Anthony Roberts, dated 30 March 2020, regarding access to the Cessnock Correctional Centre, which states option 3A in the Cessnock Correctional Complex Road Options Analysis Report 2019 is the government's only viable option. And two, that Council notes the Minister has advised that points 6 and 7 from Council Resolution 1158 could not be considered until planning and design work is undertaken for the new entrance, and as such, Council accepts this approach.
We get a seconder there. Councillor Gray, speaking to it, Councillor.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just briefly, I don't propose to debate the issue of the access. I think that would be best left to your upcoming mayoral minute. I just felt it was important that, given that we put two key criteria on the government following the last meeting in our letter to them, it was important to note prior to the debate what their response to those two key criteria are. So I'll leave it there.
No further debate. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, I just can't understand what we're doing here. It's just correspondence. We were the ones that put the motion up to the government, and he's said, no, we're not going to look at it. And now we're going to acknowledge the letter so that we don't put it into the debate. I really don't understand why we're even accepting this response from Mr. Roberts as being a good response. I think it's a terrible response for the whole community, the community of Lindsay Street and the community of Nalkabar. And I can't support this motion. Thank you.
No other comments? I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Burke, Sander, Lyons, Dagg and Pinsent. Those against? Councillor Olsen and Councillor Stapleford. So we move to Mayoral Minute 3. In regard to the Cessnock Correctional Centre, I know we received the letter that we've just tabled, and it was very disappointing because the aim of council in the rationale has always been that access to the proposed expanded state facility is via direct routes to the state road network. And this is the line the council's taken right from the commencement in 2016 when we were notified that this was going to happen. The council roads paid for by Cessnock ratepayers should not shoulder the significant financial and maintenance burden of the significant expansion of this state facility. And the final one is the council reaffirms its position that Lindsay Street is not an option for the ongoing entrance exit to the Cessnock Correctional Centre. We've got ourselves in a position where, as the report from the General Manager said, it was either 3A or nothing. The letter back from the Minister, after all the good work, the groundwork that was undertaken, certainly sounded that out very clearly. The Mayoral Minute probably takes that option 3A as the only thing for the for the ratepayers of Cessnock? Why should the people of the vast traffic network around Lindsay Street suffer for another 30 years of all the increased traffic to a state facility? And I'm hoping that the state member will engage with council to come talk to council, share some common strategies, because the access with the minister's letter, the file's not closed. We've still got that issue, that continual issue of those roads from that Lindsay Street, Mount View Road precinct that our ratepayers have maintained for the last 30 years with that increased traffic and the extra traffic congestion in that precinct. And this expansion is certainly not helping that, and I recommend the mayoral minute to you. Councillor Olsen?
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, I've got a question for you first of all. We all received a email from our state member, Clayton Barr. In that email, it said, at the meeting with the minister in November 2019, it is my clear recollection that the absolute preferred outcome, if the Curlew Street option was accepted by council, would be to work through a design process for the intersection with Oxford Street in such a way as to prevent any rat run through Knockabar back streets. This was the spirited intent agreed by all present at the meeting, but it did not include any conversation about funding, budget envelopes, or even what was specifically in or out in terms of options. Is that correct, Mayor Pinson, that was said to you at that meeting and you never relayed it onto councillors?
I'd have to see the exact words to that letter. I don't think that there's ever been only that option pointed out to us quite emphatically, as you're saying. The issue of cost, in the current letter that we just tabled, the minister talks about at their cost, which is something that I've never seen before actually formally in writing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the email from Clayton Barr. Is his comments true or false?
I'd have to see the letter before I comment on the exact wording of it.
You got the email.
Fine, it's not in front of me at this point.
Well, I just read it out to you, word for word. So you don't recall ever being told that they will make sure that they prevent any rat run through Knockabar?
There would be traffic measures taken in the design that excluded corrections traffic from the streets of Knockabar, which is exactly what council was saying in the dot point 6 and 7 from the original resolution of council. All we wanted was an access off the state network that did not impede, particularly with the residents, the preschool and the school.
That's correct, Mayor Pinson. But if you were told that they were going to implement things that would stop the rat run, why did not you relay that to councillors?
I think I have mentioned it previously.
You think you have? Can you remember when?
No, I'm not going to be interrogated.
Well, you're representing the council, and you represent council at that meeting, Mayor Pinson. And at that meeting, you were told this information. Now, Clayton Barr can remember it. You can't remember it. But I have never been told that by you or any other councillor that that's what they were going to do. So I think you've let us down, and you've let the people of Knockabar down and the people of Lindsay Street down. What the people of Knockabar have said to me today, that they are very disappointed with how we come to the resolution, what we did and what we've ended up with. What they said to me today is, why is it too much to ask to get 3 or 4 people in the room, the GM, the mayor, the minister, rep, and discuss the best cost-effective option to install mitigating measures to stop access from the jail into the streets of Knockabar? Now, that's not too hard to ask, and that's all they've been asking for. Knockabar said, we don't want what Lindsay Street's got, and they've never said that they didn't want Lindsay Street closed. And I have never said that I didn't want Lindsay Street closed. But also, they've asked for a dot point 3 to be added into that motion, and I fully support this dot point 3. And that is, Should the minister fail to give any funding for the mitigating measures that we ask council to commit to funding the bare minimum to prevent isolate any jail traffic to the local Nullarbor road network? I think that's fair, that if council now has put it, we've backed ourselves into a corner by what we did with our last motion. I think it's only fair now that we commit to the people of Nullarbor that if the state government will come back and put the Curlew Street back on the table, and if they don't come up with the funding to block off the rat run, that we as a council commit to doing that over the next after the roadwork's completed. So I'd like to put that up as a point three, Mayor Benson.
Well, I reject that as an addition to the mayoral minute on the premise that we're looking to reopen negotiations with the minister. You can refer to the letter. It says Corrections has no option but to formally withdraw its offer of 3A and will continue accessing the facility via Lindsay Street. We need to be conciliatory here, not aggressive at this point, and I reject that.
Mayor Pinson, can I ask a question?
I reject that third dot point.
Mayor Pinson, I'd ask a question then, and how that is aggressive when it's only committing council to funding to stop any rat run that doesn't get done by the state government. How is that being aggressive to the state government?
That's my opinion.
It's your opinion. And I think, in my opinion then, I think you're letting the people of Nullarbor down here with not being able to support them and making sure it's not a rat run like it is through Lindsay Street. As it's very disappointing for the people of Nullarbor to hear what you're saying tonight. You haven't supported Dick Clayton Barr when he said, in his email, you can't recall any rat run not being put in. Now you're saying you're not going to support a commitment to Nullarbor, but you're going to support Lindsay Street being closed off. I support Lindsay Street being closed off. I support Curlew Street being the option to use, but I also support that we don't have a rat run through Nullarbor. And I think it's very disappointing from you, Mayor Pinson, not to take that on board.
Councillor Fitzgibbon?
Got you now. So I have a question. At the last meeting, we asked for the minister to put any promises in writing because the Nullarbor residents, I feel, had heard too many Chinese whispers about what was actually going to occur out there. So any conversation that may have or had not happened, I feel are not worth the words that there were spoken. Until we have something in writing, that words are worthless. We need a solid commitment from the state government. And look, all of us here, the other thing too is I do believe that you have been committed to both Lindsay Street closure and the Nullarbor residents. And that shows in your support for any of their options put forward. So can I ask you, here's another question. So if the state government does come back and is open to looking at it again, wouldn't we be best to have a look at the plan they put forward before we put up option three to just commit council funds to doing their work?
So the intention of the mayoral minute is to get the minister back at the table.
That's right.
He's told us that the deal's over, the offer's been withdrawn. We need to be able to get back to him, have a meeting, a positive approach, and to negotiate it through.
Thank you. You've answered that question. Look, I'm going to support the mayoral minute tonight. So through you, Mayor Pinson, can I speak to the minute?
Sure.
Okay. So in supporting the mayoral minute, I begin by expressing my dismay and anger over the way the New South Wales government has treated our community. With our consultation in 2016, the New South Wales government decided to impose a massive jail expansion and all of its impacts on our community. It even changed its own planning legislation so that it could run over us like a steamroller. Over the course of the 4 years since, council has remained determined to do all it can to minimise the adverse impacts on our community. Like earlier expansions, it is clear the jail expansion has had and will continue to have adverse impacts on our residential streets and those who live in them. Therefore, there can be no doubt that the New South Wales Government has an obligation to address those impacts. Changing the planning laws may have given the New South Wales Government the legal right to ignore the community, but it doesn't give them the moral right. Wouldn't private sector developers love to be able to avoid community contributions or any obligation to reduce the impacts of their developments on the community? So I say this to the Minister, do what is morally right, drop the political lines like good faith and goodwill and just do the right thing. And the right thing is to close the Lindsay Street entrance and make good on a new entrance linking the jail with Wine Country Drive in a way that doesn't simply move the problem on to another group of residents. This the Minister has not yet been prepared to do. However, as the Minister has now made it clear that option 3A is a take it or leave it offer, council has no choice but to support it. But at least residents will be in no doubt about two things. One, that we did all we could to get them a better deal, and two, we will continue to urge the New South Wales Government to further consider options for making 3A more acceptable to the Knockabar residents. I'll close with 4 points. The New South Wales Government says ecological communities, it can't embrace the woodlands option because of threats to ecological communities. But residents are understandably asking, where were the concerns for native species when the bulldozers rolled in to build the new jail complexes? The government took away any opportunity for council to have any say on the jail expansion and then argued it could only build 3A with an expression of support from council. For the New South Wales government to withdraw funding for a new entrance because council had the audacity to ask it to make it clear that if we didn't, we'd get nothing, only fuels reasonable suspicion that they were never serious about building a new entrance in the first place. We will not sit back and allow the New South Wales government to walk away from its responsibility to our local community. Thank you.
Councillor Dunn. You'll have to start again, Councillor.
Thank you. Is that working now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. As we've adopted tonight, the Minister has provided a written response to the latest adopted Council motion regarding the entry and exit to the jail, and the offer has now been withdrawn. From the first meeting, Clayton requested the department he's been fully transparent, and as far as I'm concerned, that the department has been a good neighbour. But being a good neighbour isn't giving council everything that they demand, and about negotiation to get the most equitable outcome for everyone, because it's an issue that affects different people in different ways, and the jail isn't going anywhere, and there's going to be an entrance, and there has to be a final resolution at some point. Since the changes to the planning set in 2016, the conversation around the new jail has always been of goodwill. And the state government have spent considerable time and money on design options, of which all parties in all of these meetings that have been taken were apparently aware of. And it's good to see in the amendment in the previous motion that for the correspondence early in respect to point 6 and point 7. Now, Clint refers to the meeting with the minister in 2019 in November, and the absolute preferred outcome if the Curlew Street option was accepted by council. Now, that would be to work through the design process for the intersection with Oxford Street in such a way to prevent the rat run through Narkebar and the back streets. And it's my understanding that it was agreed to, in concept, by all parties involved in that November meeting, that option 3A, and only 3A, what was on the table. And included in those conversations were the mayor, the general manager and Clayton, and justifiably, that is how the general manager answered the question at the last meeting with respect to this. That is either 3A or not 3A. And Clayton's words centred around the spirit of the meeting. And this was apparently the spirit and the intent agreed by all present at those meetings, but it didn't include any conversations about funding, budgets, envelopes, budget envelopes, or even what was specifically in or out in terms of options. And as the department was finished with spending money on the design options, they're more concerned about delivering one option. And the spirit of the meeting seemingly was that council would be involved and the government were, in fact, being a good neighbour. But it seems, unfortunately, at some point, this spirit of the meeting didn't make it back to the council chambers for us to be aware of that. In the council emails, in the mayor's emails to Clayton, he acknowledged that the meetings in November 2014 with the minister, Narkebar School and the rat run issues were raised, and the planning for design with minimal traffic effects on the preschool and the primary school had been raised. But with regards to the sentiment of being a good neighbour, others in the community who have read the letters posted on Facebook by other councillors about this particular correspondence that we've adopted tonight have made public comment, as the state member has said, that the minister has tried to be incredibly patient with Cessnock Council, but to no avail. The member for Cessnock conveyed to the mayor about the last amendments and that they were too demanding. And up until that amendment, at the last meeting that was put forward, my intention was to vote for 3A. And I was made aware of the spirit of those meetings, and I do apologise for not saying something at the last meeting in respect to that, and I do regret that. And again, I do apologise that I didn't say something about that at the last meeting. But Lindsay Street residents are becoming more vocal on these decisions because it wasn't a whole of council and a whole of LGA outcome. It was the residents of Narkebar weren't privy to the sentiment that was supposed to be taken out of those meetings, and we all should be in agreement that council reaffirms its position that Lindsay Street isn't the option going forward. And that's on record. But that in itself isn't a cause for amendments tonight. Now, as well as being elected to represent both sides of the jail in terms of residents, we're elected to oversee the financial wellbeing and sustainability of this council. And possible costs incurred, as Councillor Olsen referred to earlier, with 3A as a whole, need to be weighed up with what's currently costing us, what it's costing us to maintain Lindsay Street. And I think it's timely that we remember that the state government spent well over $14 million on Narkebar Public School directly in the last 2 years, and they are committed to delivering the best outcomes involved for the people of Narkebar. And assuming the spirit in which the state government has intended to work with council in these meetings...
I'm Councillor. Councillor Stapleton.
We need to move to a final resolution.
Yeah, Councillor Stapleton.
Pinson, I think we should put this motion... Somebody hasn't read the motion. This motion says we get the minister back to the table to talk about... We're not talking about all these other things. They should come after we've got him back to the table and talking and finding out what he will come at. I think we should put the motion now. We're that far off track, it's not funny. And we need to stay on track, getting back to the table and getting talking to the people of Cessnock.
Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I fully support this, the concept of getting the minister back to the table. I note, as you have, that corrections had no has no option but to formally withdraw its offer of 3A. That was his very last paragraph. It concerns me that apology for the way that we treated the minister. I noticed that you also said there was a conciliatory note within the recommendation. I fail to see this conciliatory note. I don't see we've said anything that says sorry or look, we made a bit of an error or we've made a mistake here. Just straightforwardly saying we want to request a meeting with the general manager and the mayor to discuss the correctional centre. The other point about Councillor Fitzgibbon, you mentioned take it or leave it. There is no take it or leave it. It's left. It's gone. It's off the table. Now, how is this recommendation 1 and 2 ever going to get the minister by? There's nothing there that says, Mr. Minister, please, we have made a big mistake here. Can we please renegotiate or can we at least discuss this? I feel that we are being too easy on this. We're not really saying sorry, and that's what we should be saying.
Thank you, Councillor Savell. Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I only speak in support of the Mayoral Minute tonight. I think we all sort of read with disappointment the last paragraph of the Minister's letter that came back withdrawing their offer. Because for me, the disappointment was that we'd finally, in my mind, all got to the same page. We'd been negotiating on this for a little while, but only a brief little while, because it's through that letter that they actually finally said that 3A is the only option, and that was what we had up in the last meeting, and that they outlined that they weren't opposed to these to the mitigation measures, but that they actually would look at them through the design and planning process and couldn't commit to that. So I think it's important to note as well that myself as a councillor, I'm committed to making sure that these mitigation measures happen. Our council's view has always been to move this entrance from the local road network. It would make no sense for council to move it from one side to the other side without putting in any mitigation measures to stop it creating the same issue on the different side of the jail. That would defeat the purpose. So I won't apologise, as Councillor Fagg has suggested, for standing up for the community and making sure that we actually implement some of these mitigation measures. But there's a couple of other points I want to address. Councillor Olsen suggested that we should automatically now commit to doing it. I'm not sure that's a fantastic negotiation tactic, because if someone says to you, I want you to do something, but if you don't, I'm going to do it anyway, you'd be far less likely to actually do it yourself because you know that they're going to do it. I think it's what we need to make is actually say we're still committed to doing this, and ideally the government, through their design and planning process and work with council, will come to an agreement that actually ensures that the Nolkabar residents are protected in this and the local road network is protected as well. Now, we've also been here, and Councillor Dunn and Councillor Olsen are talking about the timeline and the November meeting and the goodwill of the minister and how great they've been through this negotiation. I think it's time to actually go through some of this timeline. It wasn't until late December 2019 that the government actually released any access options to the public or council. So there was no route plans back then. There was no route plans in November to say, other than, oh, we're looking at maybe putting it on Curlew Street. Well, where? Where on Curlew Street? And then they wrote in January to council, which was provided to all councillors, that said, we're looking at somewhere in a mix between 3A and 3B. And we'll look at it then and we'll see how it goes. Well, at that point, still no route, no maps, no things to say this is definitely what's going to happen. The only time the state government has put in writing that 3A is their final option is this letter that has withdrawn them from actually doing anything. So I don't know where that stacks up about goodwill on their part. There's no goodwill that's come through, in my mind, from there. What we actually need is to try and ask them and say, council's prepared to negotiate in goodwill on this, but we need them to come back to the table. We're asking them to please come back to the table, because this is an issue and has been an issue for ratepayers for many years. We're now, in my mind, in agreement of where all parties stand. All parties are aware of the actual final option and where we're at and what we need to do to try and go together. So we're finally at the point where we can actually start to implement this and move forward. And had the minister wrote back that whole letter that he did, minus the final paragraph withdrawing it, I would be sitting here saying very different things about this is a great thing than and where we're at finally to get this over the line. But we haven't got there, and we need to ask them back. So I would be asking all councillors to support this. Councillor Olsen asked, how hard is it to get everyone around the table and actually negotiate this through?
Time, Councillor. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I think we need to get back to putting the community first. And I agree with Councillor Saville, but an apology to the Minister, for sticking up for our community to try and get the best outcome for our local community. I don't think that's an apology is needed for that. You know, we are hearing lots of things tonight about, you know, a good neighbour and in good faith and in good spirit, and I think we're forgetting the important part, and that's the community, and that's who we represent. We sit at that chamber, we are elected by our locals, and we should be representing them. We should be advocating on their behalf, and we have had the state government walk away because we've asked for things that protect our community, that help our community, that support our community. This is the government's responsibility, not local council. You know, we've talked along, you know, about, yeah, of course, we want to be at the table. And speaking of, you know, meetings and what's being said at meetings, that's hearsay. If there's meetings being held, put it in writing. I haven't seen anything up until recent times of anything formally from the government until now. So it's okay to attack the mayor in regards to a meeting and what was said at that, but that's all hearsay. You report it back and then someone says, oh, no, we didn't say that. Let's have the government put it in writing. And it is good to see that, like Councillor Saville has said, that this letter has come through. And unfortunately, it's the ending has upset everything. They've gone away from the Cessnock community when we've asked for things to be implemented for our community. And I think that's a real shame. And I do hope that this mayoral minute is unanimously supported tonight, because I think we as a council need to go back to the state government and say, hey, come back to the table. We want to work with you because it's the best thing for our community, and we need a unanimous support from every single councillor here tonight.
Councillor Doherty, do you wish to speak?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Quinson. Unfortunately, I didn't support that Councillor Vale's amendment at the last meeting because I believed that it was going to create an issue, and looks like it has. But it had changed your original mayoral minute significantly. Option 3A, while not the best interests of everybody, is the only option, really. It's on the table these days, and I think that's the best option for the whole Cessnock community. The entrance issue goes back to the beginning of our term of council 3.5 years ago, and then has got to the final Curlew Street option, which we voted on in February 2018. And BN54. The original motion on February the 7th, 2018, council meeting was in regards to funding for the Mount View Road roadworks, which then got amended during debate to be about a new entry exit to the jail. The amended motion passed 12 votes to 1, read as follows: that the council reaffirms its position not to undertake significant roadworks on Mount View Road until the state government has constructed an alternative access to the corrective centre. That council calls on the state government to quickly confirm and construct the access to Cessnock Correctional Centre at Curlew Street, Nulkebar. That was 2 years ago. And here we are playing politics with this at this point in time. I'm going to support your mayoral minute 100%, but I just want to let you know we've been mucking around with this ourselves for 3.5 years, and we actually voted on Curlew Street 2 years ago.
Thank you. I'm going to put the mayoral minute. All those in favour? Councillors Dunn, Fagg, Olsen, Saville, it's unanimous. Thank you. We move to mayoral minute 4. The late mayoral minute, and it's to do with financial support for COVID-19 and the effects it's having on councils, particularly our council. This mayoral minute was recommended by local government New South Wales to assist the sector with the financial duress that most councils are feeling at this point of time. The addition of 7, 8 and 9 came from a meeting of Hunter councils, and they were particular points that needed to be looked at to assist councils right across the Hunter, including Cessnock, and the way that we cope and come out of this crisis. There are so many unknowns, but the impact at this point financially to this business of Cessnock City Council is growing every day. And we, as I said, we don't know when it will end. So as much assistance as we can get to assist our community, particularly those small businesses that are doing it so tough, some that are trading in a different way than what they were before, and others that are closed, and all those people in our community who have unfortunately lost their jobs. So I recommend the support of this mayoral minute. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Australia's had recessions, depressions and economic downturns in the past, but nothing seems to compare to this crisis. We're all in unknown terrain. We're all socialists now, is the meme, and ideology has moved over to survival mode. But the Great Depression only knocked off 10% of the GDP of the nation at the time, and we still speak about it today. And they're already forecasting double that in unemployment this time. It's times like these of total market failure, government is called upon to step into the breach and support people's families and communities to assist them to survive. You don't have to be Einstein to forecast the social strains of continuous isolation for months on end on families who are disconnected from family and friends, who are disconnected from communities, that are disconnected and disconnected from society generally, and social breakdown, marital breakdown, depression, fear for the future will inevitably take its toll on all of our citizens. Local government is the closest form of government to the people and the communities that I live in. Local government knows that what their citizens need and have the systems and infrastructure in place to facilitate local community-based projects, to facilitate local community outcomes and employment. Keynesian economic theory is during a recession, depression, the government should step in and support people, have them paint rocks to keep them physically moving, give them money to spend in the economy to keep the economy moving. So the theory goes. What a waste. Give them something really to do, something local, something meaningful in local government. Council has already done most of the legwork in the operations and delivery plans and their strategic plans. We have the projects ready to roll. We just don't have the financial resources, and this is where the federal government should step in and support local government directly. In past downturns, public works projects were instigated. One of the memorable schemes was the Regional Employment Development Scheme, commonly known as the RED Scheme for short. This scheme got a lot of local people moving, kept the economy moving, and left the legacy infrastructure that was appreciated for generations. A lot of our creeks and a lot of it that were put in place, and the drains were all done during those projects. What opportunities are there in these uncertain times to advance the infrastructure of Cessnock City? Most important is the imperative to keep people moving, give them something to do after all of this is over. Local government, in my opinion, if given the resources, is best placed to rapidly assist people, communities in the aftermath of this crisis. I commend the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Dunn.
Motion. It's the size of the motion and the fact that other kind of councils have already passed this motion and we didn't get it until a bit over an hour and a half before the meeting. Is there any reason why that was the case?
It's a mayoral minute and it can be shown to council at the meeting. This is how long this minute has taken to prepare. I was only aware of it last Thursday. So we've had the Easter weekend and it's gone out today.
Yeah. I personally don't find that acceptable given the fact that, as I said, other councils have produced a carbon copy of this and had it passed through council already. And an hour and a half before the meeting, we get it. I can't see why it couldn't have at least come out this morning. Anyway, that's fine.
I did say, Councillor Dunn, that it wasn't the OLG, Local Government New South Wales exact mayoral minute of taking on the changes that came from a meeting late on Thursday. Councillor Day.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to thank you for supporting the LGNSW campaign in relation to supporting local government more broadly throughout this crisis. But first and foremost, I want to start by thanking the community and also the business houses right across the Cessnock LGA. It's been a really tough time. And even for the people who still have managed to retain their jobs, there's a lot of upheaval, a lot of uncertainty, particularly with schooling and all these other factors that people are carrying a lot of weight, a lot of a burden at the moment. And I really think that, you know, we at Cessnock Council are trying to do our best to make, you know, to soften the blow for the people in our community. We will be dealing with a report later on in the night that specifies how we'll be you know, doing our bit to make, as I said, to soften the blow. But just on this mayoral minute specifically, I'd like to just point out that, you know, the Prime Minister and a number of premiers across, you know, the political divide, they've said that, you know, spoken about the conciliatory nature of National Cabinet throughout this process, that it's worked really well. And I think to a large extent it has. But also their preference to replace COAG with National Cabinet. Why is this relevant? It's relevant because with COAG, local government has a seat at the table, and with National Cabinet, we don't. And I think all you have to do is look at the decisions that have come out of that to see why that's a bad decision. Local government's been completely excluded from any stimulus packages that have been announced so far. There's been lots of community-based packages, lots of industry-based packages, small business. These are all well-needed and well-worthy. But to see a sector that has at least 45,000 people working in it right across the state being excluded and having to see councils try and carry the load is just completely unacceptable. This issue is not just about Cessnock and the financial sustainability of our council, because we all know that we can't maintain this for an extended period of time. But this has greater implications for communities right across our state, particularly in rural and regional areas, where the council is often the largest employer. And if they're no longer able to continue services and keep people in the workforce, then that has a cumulative effect on those communities. Councils and local government are best placed, as Councillor Gray said, to deliver stimulus packages, to deliver infrastructure and inject much needed funding into local economies, because it employs local people who spend their money locally as well. And not only that, they provide essential services in so many ways. A lot of the people don't actually realise we do more than rates, roads and rubbish, you know. We do, people get good bang for their buck whether they like to accept that or not. And our staff do an exceptional job working hard every day to be as efficient as possible and to deliver a great service and a great product to the people of our community. So I think it's really important that we continue to apply pressure on the state government to assist local councils so that they can continue to assist their local communities. And they can do that by taking on board the strategies that are listed in this motion, namely, you know, financial support, but also funding so that we can fast track infrastructure projects for the future. Thank you.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Thank you for putting this mayoral minute forward. Even though it did come out late, it wasn't so comprehensive and detailed that it took more than 5 minutes to read. So I'd like to just say that acknowledge the fact that Cessnock Council is a poor council, like most regional councils. We don't have the great influx of funds that some of the larger city councils have. And I think this mayoral minute highlights the fact that there are things that the government can do to help the financial burdens placed on our local households through loss of work or whatever. By employment support and stimulus funding, we can also hopefully put forward a few projects that we have in adopted strategies that would be shovel ready. And by asking the state government to fully fund pensioner rebates and to defer the intended increase in the state emergency service levy isn't too hard. It's not a lot to ask of the New South Wales government, but to those people who are struggling in the community, I think any little bit helps. I'll be supporting this mayoral minute.
Thank you, and I'll put the mayoral minute. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Motions of urgency? There are none. We'll move to PE14. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I would like to move the recommendation, but I'd like... Sorry.
Yeah, you're making a change, that's fine.
Yeah. So I'd like to make an additional dot point, point four, that council write to Mr Clayton Barr, MP, State Member for Cessnock, Shadow Minister for the Hunter and Shadow Minister for Water, seeking his support for council's position and requesting that he make every representation on council's behalf to the relevant ministers and government authorities in this regard.
Okay, we have a secondary, Councillor Sander. Councillor Dagg is speaking to it.
Yes, I will just briefly, Mr Mayor. Look, I won't go into detail. I've spoken on this issue many times before. It's an issue that... I care very much about. I think that we simply cannot give up the fight in fighting for the community of North Rothbury on this. We fought to have them to have their infrastructure, their sewage backlog be placed on the waiting list. So they were coming after YE, which was the next cab off the rank. Then it was going to be North Rothbury, and now it appears that the state government have turned around and said, well, no, we're not going to do it anymore. They're going to have to stay on their own, you know, septic tanks. And if they want to connect, well, they've got to pay some ridiculous sum of money, I think it's about $50,000 per property. Now, that just makes it unviable. They know that people aren't going to take that option up. the thing that people need to remember is that North Rothbury, and look, North Rothbury is not the only community in our LGA that is not connected to the wastewater, to sewerage. But North Rothbury is not out in the sticks. It is very much an urban part of our LGA now. And I think that it's really frustrating to see that we were so close. You know, we had everyone at the table. I feel it's quite similar to the jail entrance, actually. You know, we've been speaking in good faith all the way along, thinking that we're working towards the same goal. And then when we're almost there, almost across the line, the finishing line, the rug's pulled out from underneath us and we've been told, well, too bad, suck it up, you're not going to get what you want. And I really feel that we need to keep on with this issue. It's too important not to. And the people of North Rothbury wouldn't expect us to do anything differently either. So I commend the recommendation with the additional dot point. I think it's really important that we work hand in hand with our state member. He has, this is his space as shadow minister. So I think that, you know, he can help guide us through any negotiations that need to take place with the state government. I think that's really important. So I trust that that the rest of the councillors feel the same way. But I strongly, support this motion. Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak? Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regard to this, I fully support this this report, and Councillor Dagg's deliberation on this project. It is utmost important that we get this back on the table. We were basically promised after the YE project that North Rothbury was going to be the next cab off the rank. It is disappointing to see that they've gone back, they've changed the rules, everything's off the table again. And the amount of money it has cost council in regard to this project, it would just be unsurmountable. So, I mean, the submissions that we've actually put in previously, we're not getting a fair deal again. So I would support this and certainly go back to the table and make sure that North Rothbury gets a fair go and be done. I mean, they were told that 2022 was going to be their year, and it's not viable at this stage. So we need to go back, speak to the Hunter Water state government and get it back on the table. Very, very urgent this, because there's only a couple of hundred residents up there and homes up there. And like Councillor Dagg said, they are, on a waiting list that they've been told that it's going to be, next cab. And then all of a sudden, like I say, they drag the carpet away from them and they're very disappointed. And I believe they're coming into an urban area. It's getting bigger out there with Huntley and a large amount of subdivisions. I cannot believe this day and age that the state government and Hunter Water have dropped the ball on this one. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Go, friend.
You might have to self-unmute, Councillor Doherty.
That's right now, isn't it?
Yes.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. My memory may be failing me, but I'm sure yourself and myself, because we've been on this council, you've been on there 12 years nearly, I've been here 8, but in that 4 years that you were on council, I'm sure there was negotiations going on with Huntley about a joint sewerage scheme for Huntley and North Rothbury. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure that was being discussed at the time. And the other thing is that if you think about planning, Huntley was in the planning phase for many, many, many years. And when it came down to putting all the dots together, Hunter Water didn't even have a plan to sewer Huntley, and Huntley have actually sewered their own property themselves. Now, I'm sure, Mayor Pinson, that there was a discussion with the Huntley people, LWP, about sewerage in the North Rothbury estate, because because North Rothbury is basically completely surrounded by Huntley when it's finished. Am I correct in thinking that there was discussion going on in those days?
Is with the private supplier, but it never eventuated.
Yeah. Okay.
Councillor Fagg? Did you want to speak, Councillor Fagg? No? Okay. Councillor Dagg has spoken before.
My motion.
Sure. Right.
Can speak again. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to finish off by touching on what Councillor Doherty said. That is correct. But ultimately, the reason why that didn't progress is because the developer and Hunter Water couldn't come to an agreement pretty much on cost. So that's why Hunter Water then went off. The developer then went off and created their own private system, essentially, and then North Rothbury was left there, you know, in the lurch, essentially. So in terms of the discussions that have progressed this issue as far as they have, that's all come about since this council passed a motion in February 2017. So right at the start of our last of this term, we all were of the view that North Rothbury was our number one priority in terms of townships that needed to be sewered, and we then began efforts to lobby Hunter Water, and under the previous CEO, we made a lot of headway with that. He's now moved off and is now head of New South Wales Water, but you know, it's really unfortunate that, as Councillor Sanders said, you know, we've invested a lot of time, a lot of resources into navigating this space and advocating for our community on the basis that we are actually getting somewhere. Originally, I believe North Rothbury was going to be considered after 2024. And then as a result of our efforts, Hunter Water brought that forward to 2022 on the basis that they would be second following the sewering of YE Point. I can't remember which one. I think YE Point. So, look, this was pretty much locked in. And now here we are a number of years down the track. IPART does a review in terms of pricing, and North Rothbury's left out in the lurch again. And that's by no fault of this council. We've done everything we can and will continue to do everything we can. But apart from the unfairness of this on North Rothbury and the other communities behind them who were due to be sewered at some stage as well, this is just really inequitable. We've all been paying a very small fee, an extra charge, I think it's about $12 or $25, the EIS charge on our quarterly water bills, and that was going towards sewering communities like North Rothbury, like YE Point, like I believe Paxton, Millfield. There's parts of those communities who aren't sewered yet. It was going to pay for those so that no matter how much the people in those communities had in terms of wealth themselves, they were still going to have access to the sewer network like everyone else. And I think in this day and age, in a community like ours, we're entitled to that, and we're entitled to advocate for that for our community. And for them to turn around and say, no, user pays only, PS, it's going to cost you at least $50,000 per property, that's not good enough. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm now going to put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CA 28, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just with respect to the cultural facilities, the Strategic Property and Community Facilities Committee minutes here, I just want to note that by adopting this recommendation, we are adopting these minutes as a resolution of ordinary of council. And a report's going to come back to us with options, long-term options for the art gallery building now that the art gallery have vacated it.
Councillor Dunn, if I could just interrupt, I need a mover for the motion. You've sent in an amendment to the original.
Yes, I have.
Can you move that, please?
Yes, certainly. So it's a point 2A that reads that the possible relocation of PSYCHOS and the centralisation of youth and outreach services in Cessnock also be investigated for that space.
Councillor Saville. Thanks, Councillor Dunn. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry. So just with respect to that, I think this is a good point in time that I do fully support if we do decide to sell that building to fund an extended art gallery space at the CPAC and expand the cultural hub up there. But I think this is a pertinent time to raise the possible issue that, you know, with COVID-19 and the issues around Cessnock I think it's a really good time for us to be able to centralise all of our services like that. And if this is a possible option for us to bring PSYCHOS and other services like Headspace and that in under the one building in a central location that is accessible by all of Cessnock in a central location, this would be the most appropriate time to do that.
Thank you. No, Councillor Fitzgibbon?
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I think that's a fair idea put forward by Councillor Dunn. However, without having it on the screen, I'm not sure what his option 2A is. Is it a report come back with the feasibility of moving these facilities? Is that what it says?
Can I answer that, Mayor Pinson?
Yeah, sure.
Point two is that council, whilst investigations are underway, not hire, lease or license 16 Vincent Street, Cessnock, and use the facility for its own operational purposes. And in the resolution, the minute, it actually states that a report come back to council on the future operations of the building. So I'm simply stating that if we consider the possibility of PSYCHOS coming into that building as one of the possible future operations of that building when the report comes back to be considered.
Thank you, Councillor Pinson. Look, I'll support that motion. I will flag one thing, though. There is, at the moment, a grant that we have applied for the upgrade of the kitchen at PSYCHOS. So I think we need to be mindful of that as well if we're going to move that facility to the main street, then maybe we shouldn't implement that grant funding.
Okay, thank you. So if everyone's comfortable, I'm going to put that. All those in favour? Yeah, sorry. I was unsure of whether you had your hand up, Councillor.
Yeah, I've got a couple of times there. Councillor Dunn, if he would take out the part on strategic property review update out of the rest of the motion, which is the second part, which is on page...
It's the minutes of the strategic property committee.
He's put an amendment up. I'd like to see if he'd take that part out. And
I've only added a point to a Councillor Sullivan.
Well, can I put an amendment up now? I'll have to wait for Councillor Dunn's.
No, you're fine.
Mayor Pinson, on page 76, we've got the strategic property review update. I would like to take out the part 62 to 76 Cessnock Road, Aberdare, out of the properties that are being looked at for sale. And the reason I'd like to take them out is that it's a really good block of ground that would suit council to partner the New South Wales government or an agency to put some social housing on. I don't think you'll find a better block in Cessnock that would be anywhere near as suitable as that block. So I'd like that to be taken out of that part and moved separately.
Okay. Yeah, so we've got a seconder for, so you're sticking to the rest of the recommendations, yes, moved by, yes, Councillor Dunn. Yes. We've got a seconder for Councillor Stapleford, yes, with Councillor Olsen.
I think Mayor Pinson, yeah, well, as I've just stated, that it's the best block in Cessnock that would suit social housing. It's a big level block, it's close to public transport, and I just think we should not sell it. We should use it ourselves.
Councillor Stapleford, could you just repeat the block, please, that's listed on page 76?
76. It's block 62 to 76, Cessnock Street, Aberdare.
Okay, right, got that?
Yep, thank you.
You're on?
Yes.
Speaking?
Well, Mayor Vincent, I think it's self-explanatory. There's very little social housing in Cessnock, and it is the ideal block. I think people should have had a look at it. It's a big block, and you can do a lot with it in an area that's close to transport, close to the main road, and would really suit Cessnock.
Yeah, so we just go to the director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. If I could just suggest those properties that have been listed there for sale on page 76 have already been endorsed by council for sale. So I'd take on board what Councillor Stapleford is proposing, but perhaps you would just move the amendment that the property 62 to 76 go back to the Strategic Property Committee for reassessment.
Okay. So, would you include that in the original?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what I was going to say, yeah.
Right, so we're all comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, at that point, I'm going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. CC 29. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I put a... hang on. Gadgets, hang on, mate, gadgets. Put a third dot point in the recommendation. It's in regard to asking the general manager to contact the Catholic Church Diocese of Maitland and Newcastle with a view to encompass the entire Wallumbyre Cemetery under one land title for ease of management. Yes, I mean, every...
Hang on. So we've moved that way. We've got a seconder. Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Sander.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regard to the transfer of the title, it seems a bit ridiculous to have half a block of land that we already maintain. We've maintained it for many, many years. We had grant funding many, many years ago to put the fencing on. So I believe that we just make inroads to the Catholic Church to put it under one title, so that, you know, I believe that we've spent a lot of money on there maintaining it in the previous. We continue to do so, and we will continue to do so in the future. So just to go to the Catholic Church and find out if we can just put it under one title.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I think we should check our own records first to see whether we actually own that parcel of the cemetery. I think that was the original pastionate part of the cemetery, and I think it would be much easier if we had a look at our own records, because that was a mixed half of the cemetery to start with, and then later on the Church of England part came in. So I would just check our own records first. But if we don't, I think we should, and I think we should support Councillor Sanders' motion.
Yeah, the director wants to speak.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. In relation to the ownership of the two lots, we're talking about Lot 1 and Lot 2. Lot 1, I believe, was always owned by the Anglican Church, and that is the subject of this report. Lot 2 is in the ownership of the Catholic Church. Yes, we have maintained it for a number of years, And we, if this gets up tonight, obviously we'll approach the Catholic Church in relation to whether or not they wish to relinquish that title. But certainly I sent out an advice yesterday afternoon to councillors that did confirm that we do not own the Catholic portion that is in the ownership of the Catholic Church. So we will not do approach them.
Okay. No further debate. We're going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Recent times and the recent pandemic and a few other things that have come to my attention in the last few days, I believe that I have changed the recommendation number 2. I'd like to have that changed if we could possibly do that. That due to the extenuating circumstances, I have I believe that the Greta Preschool Kindergarten and the Curry Curry Motorcycle Club be given a month's extension from this meeting to complete the documentation necessary to comply with the council's rates relief policy for the year 2021. Okay. Thank you.
Second, Councillor Dagg. There's no debate. You can put it. All those in favour? Are you voting for that, Councillor Doherty? No? Okay. So it's Councillors Olsen, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Dunn, Bagg, Gray, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Dagg. And against is Councillors Doherty and Stapleford. Okay. We move to CC 31. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pearson. I'll move that, and I'd like to just make an amendment, if I may, that on point 1D to read that until the 31st of August 2020, no new debt collection legal action will commence, and an update be given to Council at the August meeting to determine whether an extension is warranted.
Okay, so you're moving that way. Second, Councillor Dagg. Speaking to it, Councillor Gray?
No, I think it's self-explanatory.
And Councillor Burke?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to add to, if Councillor Gray and the seconder are happy to take this on board, it would become 1E, and it would read that an extensive media release be undertaken to advise the community of extension to the payment of rates for the next instalment.
Thank you. And the mover and seconder comfortable with that?
Happy with that.
Yes, thank you. So there's no debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? Yep. Councillors Olsen, Dunn, Fagg, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Burke, Sander, Lyon, Stagg and Stapleford. Against, Councillor Doherty?
No.
Sorry?
No.
I'm not seeing your hand, Councillor.
Put it in front of your face.
Yeah.
That's it.
that's unanimous. Thank you. CC 32, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I'd like to put forward an alternate recommendation that reads that Council write to the Office of Local Government recommending consideration of this matter be deferred in recognition of the COVID-19 crisis.
Here we get a seconder. Councillor Saville. Speaking to it, Councillor?
I won't speak to it. I think, again, that's self-explanatory. Okay. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, so there's no debate. You're going to put that, all those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Sorry. WI-27, is it? WI-27.
CC-35, Mayor Pinsent.
Thank you. Yeah. CC-35 resolution for tracking. Councillor Dagg.
Move the recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Second, Councillor Burke. We have a question. No questions? Okay, I'll put the resolution to tracking. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI-27. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Dagg. Anyone speaking to Tobias Road? No? Okay, so I'm going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI-29, fire station at Weston, Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, from my point of view and the community's point of view, it is very disappointing to see this recommendation. We fought a good fight. Hopefully...
Sorry, just hang on, Councillor. We need Councillor Gray to go off.
Oh, sorry.
So we just hang on. So Councillor Sanders moving the recommendation. We have a seconder. Councillor Burke. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regard to the recommendation, I'm not happy to see this come back to council in regard to the protection of our community of Weston in regard to fire. There is a split here between the Fire Rescue New South Wales and Rural Fire Service. It is, you know, understandably disappointing, but at the end of the day, we've jumped through hoops, we've done what we can, and we just have to abide by what the Rural Fire Service and the New South Wales Fire Rescue Service has to say and how they operate. And we've given a good shot. I hope that the community of Weston, they won't be happy, but at the end of the day, we've run a good race and hopefully we don't have a major catastrophe with in our community or surrounding our community because the fire services are letting to myself as letting them down. Thank you.
No other debate. We can put it. All those in favour?
No, I'm not.
No, it's not. So it's Councillors Olsen, Dunn, Fagg, Savelle, Fitzgibbon, Burke, Lyons, Dagg. No, she's not. No, Dagg. Doherty and Stapleford against the Councillor Sanders and Dagg. Okay, so we can get Councillor Gray back into the room. He is. We move to WI-30. You're going to move for the recommendation. Move to Councillor Savelle, second Councillor Burke. Any debate?
Yes, Mayor Pinsent.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Stapleford.
Mayor Pinsent, I've got some questions on this. First of all, I'd like someone to explain to me how they do a high-level desktop audit. If we've got one of the staff, the managers or the director there can explain how we do a high-level desktop audit.
This is WI-30, New South Office of Sport, Future Needs of Sports Infrastructure Study.
Yeah, yes, yep, sorry. I've got the wrong one, sorry.
Okay. So there's no debate on that. WI-30. Okay, I'm going to put it. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Now, Councillor Stapleford, WI32CBD Street Parking Audit.
Yes, Mayor Pinson. I'll move that way, but I've got some questions I'd like
sure.
asked.
Sure. You've got a seconder? Councillor Saval. Councillor Stapleford.
Mayor Pinson, the first question is, how do we do a high-level desktop audit?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. On page 232 of the agenda, the officers have outlined the audit methodology chosen. A high-level desktop audit used some satellite imagery over four different days that imagery was available. They also did a walk around and counted the number of parking places. And as the officers have pointed out there, to do a detailed parking audit, it's quite labour-intensive and it requires a funding amount of about $25,000 to undertake a detailed audit. So the high-level auditors really get an idea of numbers, and it's spelled out in page 232 of the report.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I've had a look at that. I printed some photos out off the computer, off Nearmaps, and it doesn't give you a choice of peak periods. And if you have a look at it, there's a couple of photos where there are a lot of car places, but they're at 2:30, 2:31 in the afternoon when the peak period is pick up at the schools. And using those four times, you are bound by the satellite. There's no going and having a look and saying, well, this is a peak period and this is not a peak period. I find great difficulty following how it's a high-level audit when taking a few photos off near maps and have no say over at what time. And another problem I have with it is, do we count the taxi spaces at the Woolworths car park when we counted up the taxi places that were available?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Councillor Burke.
I think I've just noted in the consultation that Cessnock Chamber of Commerce has been consulted. I need to declare a significant conflict if I can be taken out of the discussion.
Okay. Councillor Stapleford.
I'd like to know whether we counted the taxi parks that are at Woolworths when we've done that part of the audit with all the taxi ranks that are available.
The Director.
Yeah, through you, Mayor Pinson. On page 234, the multi-use zones are explained there, and they were multi-use zones in the street, not on private property.
Well, Mayor Pinson, that brings me to the next part. We counted all the parking ones that are in the private parks, but we never counted the taxi park. How do we discriminate against that's a taxi park there in the private park when we counted all the other private parking, even some of the ones that you cannot see on this map that they supplied on page 242? Nearly impossible to follow where the car parks are there. And I just wondered why we would not count the taxi parks and we would count all parks in car parks that are miles and miles from away from the centre of Cessnock.
The Director.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. On page 231, the original motion of council, the resolution of 21st of August, stipulated that the audit be undertaken of street parking. Throughout the report, the council officers have identified that they also undertook a simple audit to get numbers of available spaces on private properties to assist with getting an idea of the number of spaces. But the original motion was to do street parking only.
And the last part, Mayor Pinson, is when I had a look at the enclosures, it mentions in there about the people that they talked to, the engineers, but when they done their walk around their camp, there's no paperwork, there's nothing to say that one of the rangers walked around and counted this at what time of the day, that an engineer went for a walk to lunch and he counted it. There's no enclosure to give us any details of what happened at those parts of it. I think it's a very ordinary plan. I'm very disappointed. In 8 years, I think this is the worst one I've come across. Most of them are very good. Most of them have got all the explanations. But this one, I think, is the worst one I've come across.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I think I'd like to... I've got questions on this report as well, and I think the best way forward for this is that we add another dot point in, and that would be that we are briefed on this particular subject. We need more information on how this high-end audit was taken and exactly the implications of that high-end audit. Parking in the Cessnock CBD for some people seems to be an issue.
Councillor Fitzgibbon, we just
need... You need a seconder.
No. So we need the mover and seconder, which is Councillor Stapleford and Councillor Saville, just to accept that addition.
Yes, Mayor Pinson.
We're calling for a briefing.
Yes, Mayor Pinson.
Yep, fine. So Councillor Fitzgibbon, you're still speaking?
Yeah, look, I just think that's the best way forward. That gives all councillors an opportunity to get the answers that they require with the outcome of this report.
Yeah. And Councillor Olsen?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I'm, as well as Councillor Stapleford, very disappointed with the report. I look at some of the dates in here and they line up with the time that we're working on Cooper Street roundabout, which cost a lot of people weren't shopping in Cessnock at that time. They were going over areas. So I'm very disappointed with this report. I don't believe that you can say that a parking space behind the Cessnock Hotel is good for shoppers in Cessnock. I don't like that how they've come up with all their numbers and, very disappointed. A briefing would be good to hear what's going on.
Okay, there's no further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. BN 14, 2020. Councillor Burke. When he comes in. Yep, your call, Councillor Burke, on BN 14.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just before I do move the notice of motion. Since putting in the notice of motion, it's been brought to my attention that council has had some correspondence from the state government about Peace Park or Maybury Peace Park since we put in that report. And I wonder if I could just ask the director a couple of questions first.
The director?
So just in regards to that, if the director could confirm what has been that correspondence since we put in the report?
Through you, Mayor Pinson. The RMS officers have been dealing with council's traffic transport engineers and they're suggesting that there's insufficient road reserve width there to accommodate the intersection treatments that would be required to allow right-hand turns coming in both directions. That's not to say that can't happen, but you potentially could end up in a situation where you've got to take up some of Peace Park to make it happen and quite substantial works. I guess the concern the officers have is that you could end up with a splinter island down the middle of the road so that you could only go into Peace Park turning left in either direct as you're coming from either direction. So I guess that's one of the concerns that the officers have is you may end up in a situation we really push the boundary with Transport for New South Wales that people, if they're coming from Cessnock to Peace Park and they want to turn right, they'll actually have to go into Western, turn around and come back and do a left turn into Peace Park on that right-hand side where the little water feature is. So, look, it's constrained by road reserve width there and the options that have been put forward by the council officers are actually still open for discussion with Transport for New South Wales, but obviously being a state road, whether it fits in with their priorities is another thing. But certainly road reserve widths and constraints are one of the major issues there.
Thank you. Councillor
Yeah, thank you for that. And through you, Mr. Mayor, I totally understand that,
We need a notice of motion to move it.
So I'm happy to keep the notice of motion as it is because...
Okay, so you move that way. We've got a seconder. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to leave the motion as is because it seems like it might be in a too hard basket in regard to the road width for the state government, but the safety of our community should be always paramount. And there's been more and more accidents in that area. So I guess this notice of motion would just bring Transport for New South Wales back to the table for discussions. And I totally understand and appreciate the comments from the director around the no right turns. And I don't want it to become complicated, but we still need to have discussion around the safety of those visiting the park and those that are travelling through. And it could be as simple as some signage about slowing down, that there's kids in the area. I'm not saying that the signs have to say that, but there's got to be something that we can do if the road width isn't big enough. Certainly don't want to see something planted in the middle of the road. We don't want that. It's a main thoroughfare, but I still think we need to have discussions with the minister about what other alternate solutions do we have? What else could we put in place to make sure that this area stays or becomes safer for our local community that's visiting the park and those motorists that are driving through? And I guess, could I just maybe a supplement question to the director? This notice of motion, would it allow the conversation to be sparked?
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, certainly I think representation to any of the ministers is always useful. It certainly gets the agencies talking to us more readily, so I'm supportive of it.
Okay. Yep, I'll leave it as that, Mr. Mayor.
So I'm going to put it. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Council reports? No? So we will close that meeting. So we move into the confidential session. Move Councillor Dunn, second Councillor Sander. I'll put that, all those in favour. It's unanimous. We just stop for a moment. Okay. General Manager. General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. So CC 38 2020, the recommendation that's now become resolution of Council, that Council sells the two parcels of land known as 10 Quarrabalong Road, Cessnock, being lot 507, DP 755215, and 12 Quarrabalong Road, Cessnock, being lot 508, DP 755215, by private treaty using agents listed on the Cessnock City Council Real Estate Panel. 2, that Council authorises the General Manager to negotiate the sale of each property for no less than 90% of the independent valuation. 3, that Council authorises the General Manager and Mayor to execute the transfer documentation between Cessnock City Council and the purchasers. 4, that Council allocates the proceeds of the sale in accordance with the adopted property investment fund policy, and that was unanimous. Report WI 35/2020, the recommendation that was became a resolution. Number one, that the minutes of the Confidential Floodplain Management Committee meeting of 4th of March 2020 be adopted as a resolution of the Ordinary Council. Two, that Council notes the impact of the Dr. Greta Flood Study 2019 on the existing design for flood mitigation in Whitburn Estate Greta. Three, that Council endorses the alternative concept design to not pipe the watercourse works in accordance with the proposed stages 3 and 4 works. Four, that Transport for New South Wales are contacted to be made aware of the outcomes of the Greta Flood Study 2019. Five, that consultation be undertaken with the affected stakeholders. And it was unanimously voted on. Thank you.
So that concludes the meeting. Thank you very much, councillors, for bearing with us with the first electronic meeting that we've held. Good night.